I would like to see. And if he does get extradited to the U.S. from Sweden, I will be on the front lines with you protesting that. But denying these two women justice is a denial of justice. He needs to be made to answer these charges anyway. While, yes, I think it is political and extraordinary the way this is being pursued, it's an opportunity to raise the bar for the women of Sweden and the women internationally for what we can expect from our justice systems for women who are alleging sexual violence.
And I would have to say that I think you're living in a—I mean, I think it's a fantasy world to think that after this case is over, the bar will be raised at all. This is the last time we're ever going to see consensual sex involving a dispute about a condom criminalized. And it's the first time I've seen it in 23 years, and I am sure that after they've done whatever violent, brutal thing they're planning to do to Julian Assange, it's the last time we're going to see it. I don't think it helps the women of Sweden in the least to trivialize the very real issue of rape with
many of the women in Sweden think it is helping them, and I listen to the women there.
Okay, I listen to the women there, too, and I guess there are many women in Sweden who have different opinions about this.
Naomi Wolf, social critic, author of 7 books, including The Beauty Myth, The End of America, and Jacqueline Friedman, executive director of Women, Action, and the Media, and editor of the anthology Yes Means Yes. If you'd like a copy of today's show, or you are to share today's debate with your
friends, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Radio B92. Svakog radnog dana. Od 6 do 9. Uz dizanje.
Znam, već sam uzela cash credit opportunity i stvarno nema veze gde radiš i koliko zarađuješ. Važno je samo da si zaposlen, a može i na određeno.
Aha, samo nazoveš telefonom, tražiš kredit za 1001 želju i bankar ti donosi kući sve papire i objašnjenja. Nema čekanja, ni gnjavaže. Zato pazi šta želiš, sad će ti se i ostvariti.
Opportunity banka, Beograd, Bulevar doktora Zorana Đinđića, 8A, telefon 2699-114.
Iz zemlje sa civilizacijom koja traje najduže, iz zemlje u kojoj je budućnost već stigla, dolazi Cherry, automobil koji traje i više daje. Tri modela, Cherry Ego, Cherry Tango i Cherry Tigo su automobili vrhunskog dizajna sa veoma bogatim osnovnim paketima opreme po neverovatno atraktivnim cenama. Cherry traje i više daje.
Novo u Maxi taksiju. Na starih 20% popusta u prvoj tarifi. Od sada i 30% popusta na vožnje u drugoj tarifi. 9804 Maxi taksi.
Moderno društvo nosi modernu tehnologiju. Ispravno razmišljanje nosi logičan izbor. Najveći lanac maloprodaja računarske opreme u Srbiji. Win-win Computer Shop.
Nekada smo slušali. I'm so excited. Sada slušamo. I know you want me. Dojuče sam vozio. A sada...
Na akcija. Dovezite stari auto bilo koje marke i odvezite novi Peugeot. Verano Motors 3094500.
And you can dance. Our inspiration. Come on, come on.
So here we are in Serbia, actually our last night in the former Yugoslavia, and with a couple of our friends, listeners. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
My name is Mladen Drmjaković, and I'm from Serbia, the city of Kraljevo. And I don't know, what else do you want me to say?
Well, maybe the guy next to you can introduce himself.
Yeah, my name is Srećko. I'm a brother of Mladen. Actually, my name can be translated in English like Lucky, so you can call me Lucky if you want. Yeah.
We'll call you Lucky. Now, which one of you is the person who listens to the radio show?
Actually, we both like to listen to the show. Actually, my younger brother Mladen, he was the one who discovered it, you know, and the one who sucked me into this. So I started listening to the show. So
is this off the hook or off the wall?
Off the hook, you know.
How did you discover it?
I was surfing the net, and somewhere on the page it was like a related link or something, or somebody was discussing it, and I thought it was a good show to check out, and I did. And I liked it a lot, and then I got back to the older shows and listened for almost from the beginning. I read the descriptions of some shows and then listened to them if they were interesting.
Like, he downloaded all the shows from the beginning, you know, when it started, and he was like listening all day and all night, you know. And his MP3 player, you know, he was just like, I don't know, he couldn't, you know.
I was like paranoid.
Yeah, he was listening to all day and all night, so.
And have you ever listened to Off the Wall, the show you're currently on now?
Yeah, not as much as Off the Hook, but Off the Wall is also a good show. I listened to it a couple of times. Now, I don't listen to it as frequently as I do the Off the Hook, because it's the timing is somewhat, it's like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
It's actually on an hour earlier than Off the Hook.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying for Off the Hook. It's like 1 o'clock, so I download it later and then listen to it. I can't listen to it live because it's really sometimes late and I lie down. And
well, you're going to be on one of the shows on Off the Wall, so do you think you'll be listening to that show?
Yeah, I'll be listening from now on. I will be listening to the...
It may take us a while. It may take a few months. It may take a year, but you have to listen to every show now until we actually put it on.
It was actually... I'm not really sure, but I only listened to a few of the Off the Wall shows, and I think the themes, you know, that were discussed in the show were a little bit different than the ones, you know, in Off the Hook. So we were more like into Off the Hook because it was like a hacker show. Yeah, I think Off the Wall was a little bit political, something like that. Yeah,
it's just basically me ranting and raving sometimes.
Yeah. So you know, we were just more into Off the Hook, but you know.
But that's not a bad show to listen to at all.
We're a little bit older now, and maybe, you know, we'll start listening Off the Wall too, so who knows.
Of course, you can also listen to Brain Damage back in the past and Voice of Long Island.
I've seen the link on the 2600 page.
So this is incredible. Kyle's here as well. It's incredible for us to be able to come to these places and just meet people that listen to the shows and are familiar with 2600 and just share the same interests. Isn't it a cool thing?
Yeah, it's actually it's been really nice to have different faces, different people in different cities to kind of give us the fast and loose tour, so we can get our bearings. And we've been to many different places to eat, and you know, seen sights during the days. I don't know, our weather's been favorable.
Until today, we've been traveling 3 weeks, and today it poured rain for at least a part of it. But it's pretty cool how every day was nice and sunny. And now at the end, it's kind of like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, and we've actually been met with quite a bit of exuberance here in Serbia. And, you know, since we've been traveling for a couple of weeks, it's, you know, it's been like the last bit of energy we've got to muster to meet the amount of enthusiasm people have had for our visit and for our stay here, you know. And that's great, because that just means that people are really excited that we're traveling, that we're out meeting people, and we can do it. We've been able to pull things together and, you know, rest up, get the amount of sleep that we need, and
We haven't gotten the amount of sleep we need, but we've been able to get the amount of sleep that will let us get by at least until the next time.
Yeah, we've gotten about enough, and we're able to wake up, and, you know, we've tried restaurants, you know, several different restaurants that were recommended to us here in Serbia.
That's interesting, because there's a Serbian restaurant in New York that we go to sometimes, And the guy there recommended some places in Serbia, in Belgrade, for us to go to. Last night we tracked down a place and found the owner who knew the guy, and everybody was very happy. Today, unfortunately, the owner isn't here. He's in Paris at the at some kind of basketball game, which everybody's watching here. But they still know the guy in New York, and it's just cool to sort of bridge those gaps.
Yeah, again, I mean, we've accomplished everything we set out to do as far as bumping into people, meeting people, seeing different spaces, catching up, trying to share ideas, and I don't know, it's worked out. You know, even, you know, just cultural stuff, like seeing food places, bars, restaurants, that kind of thing. We've been successful in every leg of it, you know. Yeah. You've sent all of the postcards, you know, whether there are some or not. And
I'm sorry if I put you through hell with that, but basically I made a promise to a friend that I'd send him a postcard from every one of the republics and the countries that I've been to, and there have been 8 of them, 7 former Yugoslav republics, well, actually 6 plus the one expansion team you guys got out of Kosovo. I know that's a sensitive issue, but and also Albania. And some of the countries were rather difficult and a challenge to find postcards, but I did it, and, you know, hopefully they went through, and it's kind of a cool thing to see if they arrive in the order I sent them.
But the tours and the help that we're getting from people is really, really helpful, because for instance, Belgrade's so huge, it's a really big town, and to get to the right places in the amount of time that we really have, I mean, yeah, it was a couple days here, but gosh, there's so much to explore, it's amazing. And I'm really thankful that we're able to have some help, just so that we can get the destinations, and then maybe find some little pieces of the town that might encourage us to come back and visit and explore some more. You know, since we've already gotten the big stuff, you know, we understand that, but it's the little things that we pick up along the way too that help us sort of keep some of our own, you know, real special memories that really are, to me, going to encourage me to come back. So,
and what's cool is that there are people, as we can see, as we've seen throughout this whole trip, there are people over the world listening to the shows. And by doing this and talking to the people over the radio, maybe more people will come here. More people come to the former Yugoslavia and experience some of the magic that we've experienced. Because it's not like Western Europe. It's not like the places that people go to mostly. It's a lot less commercialized, a lot more real, and I think the benefits are really incredible.
It's outstanding. I mean, there's not enough information. People don't know enough about this region to actually come here and to you know, make the necessary plans, deal with the logistics to getting here. And it's funny. We want people to come and visit, and it's as hard to, if not harder, to get to America. So I think extending yourself such that you make the effort, you make connections, and you get out there and be exposed a little bit, I think that's reciprocated, because people will be as curious about where you're from. And maybe we've got events coming up in our community, and just in general, I think there should be reciprocation. There should be we should be as accessible as a nation. And, you know, there's plenty of information about America and about our culture and our history. People ought to be able to form their opinions by seeing it, and I've been blessed. I mean, this is awesome to have been able to get my feet on the ground and walk around and create my own impression based on what, in my opinion, is a pretty sparse idea of what's out here. And now I feel like I'm empowered. I'm going back with quite a bit of perspective, and to me, I don't have to deal with as much to get out here. It's crucial to be able to communicate that to other Americans, I think, so that they'll do the same thing and maybe continue to create relationships and build the kind of global community that we're starting to see. So it's cool. It's really cool.
Let me ask you guys your impressions of America, whether you want to come to America. It's difficult for you, impossible?
Yeah, it's difficult for us because we need visas and all kinds of stuff.
How hard is it to get a visa?
I don't know, actually. I've only gotten visas for certain countries, like I've been to Italy and Hungary, Greece. I haven't been that much around, but
I don't know if you'll need a visa to go to Greece, I don't think, because it's in the EU.
Not now. We don't
For the European countries, we were now on a white Schengen list, so we don't need visas for the countries in Europe, but still for America, we need to apply for the visa, and I'm not sure if there is also that letter of invitation, that's still, you know, necessary. But
we're happy to provide letters of invitation to anybody who listens to the show, wants to come to America. Just let us know. We'll send you the letter. And then how does that help?
Yeah, that would be really helpful. But I think that the real problem with the visa is just the waiting time, you know. But I think in the end it is possible to get a visa and, you know, to come there. But
like Kyle was saying, it should be easy to go to these places and to experience things and share cultures.
We've had absolutely no trouble. I mean, honestly, we've been through countless borders, and that's in and out. So, okay, 8 countries, that's 16 border crossings. Yeah, that's out. And then
more
in,
because we
in
went
and
in
out.
And out of Croatia.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something, it's got to be at least 20. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's not much of an exaggeration. And honestly, it's been very fluid. I've been traveling with gear, electronics. We're not blatantly doing any kind of journalism that's putting a lot of things under scrutiny. But
we are now in a restaurant with a microphone.
We are now. Yeah. We do have a microphone. But
nobody cares.
But to a certain degree, we've had absolutely, no one's challenged us. We've had absolutely as much freedom as you could expect in any part of the United States. In fact, I'm sure there's
more
places.
So. We were walking by riot cops yesterday.
Yeah,
what was that all about?
Please.
Riot cops in the streets of Belgrade all over the place last night or yesterday afternoon, and everyone's just sort of like chatting with them, and nothing ever happened. You know what that was about?
Yeah, it was a game between the two biggest teams in Serbia. We are a big fans of football, you know, generally, but these two teams are like lifetime rivals, and since the beginning, since those teams were created, they were like rivals in every sport, not just in football. And last night it was a game, and it's also a really important game for the championship. And it sometimes can be, you know, messy, and the supporters of both teams, you know, they can do damage to some buildings, or, you know, they just walk around the streets, you know, they completely close the traffic, and you know, they can make trouble sometimes. So that's why there's a lot of riot police in every corner, and, you know, so.
What were the teams?
The team names are Partizan and Red Star. So.
Partizan and Red Star. I remember just watching a basketball game where Partizan was playing, but it's a different group of people with the same name.
Yeah, that's also the same club, but they have a team in every sport. Actually, they're really good in basketball. They're playing in a Final Four of a European League, and I think they won for third place.
And we were just wondering why that basketball is so big here. I didn't realize it was this big. Why they don't play United States teams at all? They have this big championship in Europe, in Paris, at the Final Four. And over in the United States, the NBA, they're going to say whoever wins that that league is going to be the world champions. But obviously they're not, if there's professional basketball being played here as well.
Yeah, they are the world champions of the NBA, but not of the basketball. Basketball champions of the world.
Yeah, very interesting. And also the team names, Partizan and Red Star, those are holdovers from socialist days, aren't they?
Yeah. The Partizans actually were the soldiers of Tito's army, and they were the ones that helped, you know, to get rid of the Germans and stuff, you know. And the Red Star is actually, as you may know, it's like a symbol of communism. So those names are like remnants from the communism in Serbia. So.
But they held on to the names even though communism is gone.
Yes. It's probably
it's
because
like a trademark.
Yeah.
Really? I want to give up the trademark.
No, they don't want. It's it sort of sticks, like it's been their name so long, but they don't want to change it, like a brand or something.
Yeah, probably the supporters, you know, wouldn't like that, you know, if they change the name of the teams. So it's probably the reason why they stick with it. Yeah.
And also the supporters have really, really cool names. The supporters of Red Star are called Delia. It's like guys. And the supporters of Partizans are grave diggers. Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and the guys who support Partizan actually have the T-shirts with the grave digger holding up the shovel, and it says grobari. In Serbian language, it means grave digger.
That's amazing. Well, that's pretty much enough sports talk, I think, for us here. But congratulations, though, for making it to the World Cup. We'll be following what you guys do in June, and maybe July, if you're lucky. But, again, this is
I want to digress a little bit to what I was saying is, like, you know, this is a great example of the kinds of things people have absolutely no idea about. There's an entire basketball league in this part of the world. We think the NBA is it as far as the U.S. There's no coverage. There's nothing. This is the example. You know, people need to see how normal, and I hate to say normal, but I do mean it. People need to see how accessible this part of the world is and how deserving they are of accessibility to our culture and our country.
Kind of nasty, don't you think? No, I'm just kidding. But we don't want to Americanize these guys. I mean, the NFL is coming here as well.
But it ought not to cost them $200 to get a visa that they might not actually get to come and visit. We did some research. We had somebody write us.
What's involved in doing it?
You have to call a 1-900 number
first. How do you do that from out of the country? You can call 1-900 numbers from overseas. I guess you can. It costs something like $25 just to, like, set up the appointment. And then, after that, you have to spend money to fill out the form, which may not be accepted. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You actually have to spend much money for thing that you don't actually need, that we shouldn't actually need. We should be... The country of U.S. should be more accessible to people like us.
And even if there are requirements for a visa, it ought not to be so pricey, such a bureaucracy, such a barrier to entry to even attempt. I mean, to have a 1-900 number, that to me just smacks of some sort of unscrupulous activity. I mean,
profiteering.
1-900 numbers are not exactly reputable phone numbers in the U.S. Okay, and basically, we've been treated like kings everywhere we go, for the most part. And to
we
me,
all on the bus, we weren't treated like kings.
No, not on the buses, and that's an entire other show.
Kings don't ride buses.
We'll be forthcoming with information about the bus systems of the Western Balkans.
But still, we were treated fairly.
In all seriousness,
we've had
a great time, and we've not been challenged. And I feel like, you know, we've got events coming up in America that we would like people to join us and share and come and visit. And again, you say, you know, I agree, we're not trying to Americanize people, but they ought to be able to come and form their own opinions and not have some celebrity give them, you know, some a broken down version of what America is. You know, for the same reasons that some folk band or horrible documentary is all I ever get about this area. And so having seen it with my own eyes, on my own feet, I feel like we ought to reciprocate and at least lower some of the costs for applications for visas. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to complete that thought because it's important. I really think people should be free to do
that. It totally is. And when you consider what the average income of people here, were we talking about this last night, what the average income is here in Serbia?
I wouldn't know what the actual number is, but it's pretty lower than the standard in Europe.
I think it came out to about $6,000 a year, U.S., something around there.
I don't know the number.
It largely depends on the city, you know. The city is
It's not like the United States. Things are cheaper here, and when you charge somebody several hundred dollars, that's a lot of money, and that's enough to keep them from wanting to come. And you add airfare on top of that, it makes it impossible. So, yeah, you know, we've been very critical of people coming up with excuses, not coming to Hope from overseas, but, yeah. I mean, you guys really, it's very difficult.
Once we did get a letter today, and that's where I just heard about this information, and to me, that's deplorable. That's not very nice. That's not a very welcoming, that's almost hostile, because I can see so many people deciding, not choosing, deciding that is not possible, and they don't even try.
Also, when you do make the application, you're being judged, and you could easily be rejected because we somehow think, or our government somehow thinks, that everybody just wants to stay in the United States and never go back to their homes, and that's absurd because, you know, we've been traveling for several weeks here, and we've seen how amazing the place could be, and, you know, it can be amazing at home, too, but doesn't mean everybody in the world is going to want to go there and not come back to their homes.
Yeah. But for me, it's puzzling the thing that the Americans only heard about our country some years ago when our tennis players
were at the top, like Novak Djokovic, Anna Ivanovic, the players of tennis, women and men. They're pretty good, and that's the first time when people heard about
our, we heard about your country when we were bombing you, I think.
yeah.
It's okay, we're all friends now.
But in the mainstream, popular media, that kind of thing, is, and that's not good.
It's also on that subject. We were walking around the streets of Belgrade, and we saw some of the devastation of the buildings, and it was really sobering to realize, wow, our country helped do that. And that was an incredible sight. Buildings that just...
It's in the main street of Belgrade. It's a really big street, Nemanjina Street. And it's the ex-military headquarters. And it's it's still standing there like a monument. Two pierced buildings. And the one actually collapsed later this year. I don't know. Or it was... the year before, I don't know, but it still stays on like a monument.
Well, the impression I got, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that NATO was pretty precise in what it was they were bombing. They went for military buildings, but a church next door would be unscathed. I'm not sure if they bombed populated targets. I know there were some issues. They hit a train once. They hit the Chinese embassy, which was not appreciated. But
train tracks that leaded from Belgrade to Bar, which is in Montenegro now. When Montenegro and Serbia were as one country back in 1999. It was really a big issue. People couldn't go by train to Montenegro.
But there was also a case that was, they have those bombs that have cameras on them. And if you looked at the camera, you saw at the very last second this moving train that the bomb hit. Now, apparently that was a mistake, but they completely destroyed a train here in Belgrade. So that was one of the low points of that operation. But... the thing is, it's over now. There's been conflicts in so many places, in Kosovo, in Bosnia, Croatia, even Slovenia, and of course here in Belgrade. But even though it's only 10, 15 years ago, it's like it never happened when you're walking around talking to people, because you say you're American and it's not an issue, it's not something people hold against you. And it seems like Serbia is really well on the way to becoming a part of Europe, part of the EU. And not isolated at all.
Yeah, there are actually talks about Serbia getting into the European Union. And I don't know where that is at the point, but they have some pretty strange requirements for us. Like,
we have a bunch of things, you know, we need to accomplish to get into the European Union. It's always like we should be a part of EU, like... In 2012, then it's like in a few years later, they say it's like it's going to be 2015. It's always like a few years later, you know. They always have some other things we need to, you know, fulfill so we can, you know, be a part of. But I think that will be, you know, done in the end. So I think, you know, we are on the right track. Yeah.
Seems that way. Well, guys, it's been a blast hanging out with you here in Belgrade and Serbia. And I really hope you make it to the States someday. It's made easier.
I think I will. I have actually a friend who is now living in the United States. She was a really, really good friend of mine. She actually came to visit us here in Serbia the 2 years before. And we really can't visit her because of the airfare charge and everything, the visas. And we were hoping she will come here and visit us.
We have two more friends now over there that want you to come, and we'll send letters, we'll do whatever it takes. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, that you can get cheap airfare out of Pristina in Kosovo. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but you might want to look into it.
I haven't looked into that, but sure will.
Okay, any final words for people in the United States or the rest of the world?
Yeah, you should come if you like to travel somewhere, see the culture, should come to Serbia. If you don't have actually an opinion about Serbia, you should come and make your own. It's better than listening to the media and watching the films. It's better to make it in person, your own opinion.
Yeah, I just want to say it was really nice meeting you guys, and anytime you want to wish to come here, you can always contact us, and we'll always be glad, you know, to show you around, or, you know, to be your hosts.
And to all of you, live long and prosper.
Yeah, the hospitality here throughout the region has been simply incredible. I can't say enough about that. And we look forward to coming back again and just visiting people, wandering around the city. It's always weird when you come to a new city. Kyle and I have found this time and time again. You know, you arrive and it might seem a little strange, might seem a little disorienting. People are helpful, though. And you wind up where you're supposed to be and get used to it. And then you're suddenly comfortable in it. And it's you that changes.
Absolutely. And you just have to... put yourself in the shoes of the local people and understand that it's an adjustment, but once you get your bearings, once you get that comfort, you can find everything you need. Everything's there for you, and people are not hostile. People are not out to hurt you, you know, or anything. That's too much imagination and too much that Hollywood that's trying to creep its way into reality. It's not true.
Well, there was that one tram driver when we were crossing the street. I think he wanted to hurt us.
Yeah.
Bearing down on us pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say he did have that look in his eye. But
it's challenging. Little things like crossing the street or getting a postcard. It's
not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same experience.
People have the same experience when they come to New York. They think people are out to get them, and it's not true.
It's yes, and that is a great example. So I would extend likewise. If you guys make the effort, if we write a letter and it's successful and you're accepted, absolutely, we'll host you. We'll find a way. We can communicate. We'll find people that can take care of you as well. If at least match the hospitality you guys have extended to us. So I really thank you, and I hope to come back and explore some more.
All right, that's it from Belgrade.
Good night.
Reći će ljudi sve. hitovi na jednom mestu. Hit Sladoledi uz hit pesmu. Hit pesma.
Što je uvek slobodna, da u četiri zida sedi i da nema život svoj, da u pola dana prati svaki korak tvoj. Ma nisam ja da vidiš i sam, nikada u sebi ni ne pomislim da desi se greh kad sve imam s njim. I šta me dotera da s tobom kad prevarim? Kad je bal, nek je bal, noća sve sa mene skini. Voli me, ljubi me, pa obuci se i idi. Nisam ja ni tvoj mrak, ni tvoj sjaj, ni tvoj obećani raj. Čas sve sa mene skini, voli me, ljubi me, pa obuci se i idi. Nisam ja ni tvoj mrak, ni tvoj sjaj, ni tvoj obećani raj. Treba svana note, a bez duše devojka, ona što je čak i samoj sebi dosadna. Da u četiri zida sedi i da nema život svoj, da na svakih pet minuta okrene tvoj broj. Ma nisam ja da sve imam s njim i šta me to tera da s tobom ga prevarim. Kad je bal, nek je bal, noća sve sa mene skini. Voli me, ljubi me, pa obuci se i idi. Nisam ja ni tvoj mrak, ni tvoj sjaj, ni tvoj obećani raj. Čas sve sa mene skini, voli me, ljubi me, pa obuci se i idi. Nisam ja ni tvoj mrak, ni tvoj sjaj, ni tvoj obećani raj.
Pa jedan... A sada zvanični hit leta.
Još ovog leta dala sam, mazit ćeš mene i ljubit ću te ja,
jer dušo znaj da ja sam slatka Nikole.
Svako može da ima hit,
ali mi pevamo
zajedno bi bili sladoled.
Hit ukusi, hit scene,
ja imam hit.
Nestle sladoledi Istra u Beogradu od 5. do 9. maja. Uživajmo zajedno u restoranu Šaran, u obojnim ukusima Malvazije, neodoljivim specijalitetima tartufa i zanosnim tonovima klape. Rezervacije na telefone 011 2618 235 ili 069 2618 235. Vaš restoran Šaran.
Svoje su
i sve svoje pesme prodala za jednu noć. Najbolje od sebe meni dala si. Sve si godine potrošila na mene i sve nežnosti si prodala za jednu noć. A tražila si tako malo, samo ljubav da ti dam. La, la. Tebi treba ljubav, a ne čovek kao ja. Tebi treba ljubav, neko da ti sebe da. Ne trebam ti veru, ja to ne znam družiti. Tebi treba ljubav, čovek kao ja. Tebi treba ljubav, neko da ti sebe da. Ne trebam ti veru, ja to ne znam pružiti.
Hello, this is Steve Peichel, head coach of the Stony Brook men's basketball team, and you're listening to the longtime home of Seawolf Sports, WUSB.
And it is a pleasure to have you here with us on this Tuesday evening, 34 degrees under partly cloudy skies on the North Shore of Long Island. I'm Dave Mallow. Tonight, a special broadcast presentation of Stony Brook Seawolves Sports. And we have the women's basketball team down in Norfolk, Virginia to take on the Old Dominion Lady Monarchs. And with live coverage, let's send it down to Virginia. It's Asha Michener.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays, everybody, and welcome to the Ted Constant Convocation Center here in Norfolk, Virginia, where tonight the Stony Brook Seawolves will take on the Old Dominion Lady Monarchs. I'm Asha Michener, and I'll be calling the action for you tonight, as Stony Brook will be looking to snap a four-game losing streak and win its first true road game of the season. It hasn't been an easy month of December for the Seawolves. After beating Fairleigh Dickinson on the second of the month, the team has struggled to get its offense going amid a tough non-conference slate and injuries to a couple of key players, namely starting point guard Misha Horsey and shooting guard Jody Plykus, a pair of seniors that coming into this season, the team was really counting on for leadership and production. And now all of a sudden, when you take them out of the equation, the onus falls on some other players to rise to the occasion. And that's exactly what this team has done. You look at some of the depth players that the Stony Brook Seawolves have sort of brought forth this season, talking about Sam Landers, Tamil Murray, Amanda Corona, Gerda Gatling, Danny Kluppinger, Taylor Berner. The list really goes on and on. Head coach Michelle Cherry has gone deep onto her bench, and she has gotten great results so far out of this Stony Brook Seawolves team. As I mentioned, they've struggled a little bit here on the road. They're looking for their first true road victory of the season. They started out the season with a win away from home against Troy. That, of course, came in Elon, North Carolina, so it doesn't technically constitute a true road win. So they'll try to get back on the right foot and win a game here before they pause for a holiday break here at the beautiful Ted Constant Convocation Center. It's a palace here. It seats almost 10,000, and they draw very well for women's basketball here. Right now, we're going to pause for the national anthem before we continue with the pregame show here on WUSB. Having a presentation of the colors right now by the armed forces at center court before we officially get underway with the national anthem. Stony Brook entering this game at 3-7. Old Dominion enters at 4-4. And now we will honor America with the playing of the national anthem. Thank you.
And welcome back to the Ted Constant Center. Continuing now with our pregame show as the Stony Brook Seawolves will be taking on the Old Dominion Lady Monarchs here from Norfolk, Virginia. Talking a little bit about this Stony Brook team and how they've sort of had the injury bug bite in an inopportune time, and they're battling through a very difficult non-conference slate right now. This is the fourth game of a five-game road swing that began not too far from here at George Mason on December 9th. The trip has not really been a kind one. After losses to George Mason, George Washington, and also Long Island University this past Sunday, the Seawolves have struggled to reach the 50-point plateau. In fact, they haven't in each of their last three games, but they're going to be going up against an Old Dominion team tonight that's also struggling on offense, and we'll talk a little bit about that here as we continue with the pregame show. As I said, the injuries have taken a toll. Losing your starting point guard and a senior leader like Misha Horsey has not been easy, but players like Sam Landers, Tamil Murray, and Amanda Corona have really stepped up, handling the rock, and we should expect to see a heavy dose of them tonight. Stony Brook is 0-2 against teams from the Colonial Athletic Association this season. They lost to Hofstra and George Mason earlier this season. And between these two teams, they have played one common opponent, and that common opponent is George Washington. Stony Brook fell 69-49 at George Washington. Meanwhile, the Lady Monarchs took care of the Colonials by 60-35 mark. When you look at Stony Brook, they have actually done a pretty good job at the offensive end all season. It's only been sort of a recent drought that they've fallen into. They are averaging 64 points per game, and that's actually good for the top mark in the America East Conference. And they're also leading the way in the rebounding department. They average over 39 rebounds per game, and they're second in the steal category and the turnover margin category, all very important statistics in the grand scheme of things. However, they are struggling with their scoring defense. They're averaging almost 70 points against per game. That's just the sixth best mark in the conference. And they are also struggling from behind the arc, shooting only 26%. And, you know, when you lose a player like Jody Plykus, who can really light it up from behind the arc, obviously your three-point percentage can sometimes suffer. When you look ahead at the schedule for the America East tonight, three teams in action. Maine is taking on Stetson. Vermont will travel to number 14, Michigan State. And UMBC hits the road to play regional rival Navy. Looking at the America East Conference briefly, it's really been a struggle for not just Stony Brook, but really for the rest of the league. Only two teams right now have winning records, Albany at 7-4, Binghamton at 6-4. Boston University, who is the preseason favorite in the America East Conference, is actually 3-8 to start this season. And when you look at a couple of powers, at least in previous years, Hartford and Vermont, who have kind of dominated the America East landscape on the women's side. Hartford's just 2-9. Vermont is 0-9. So it looks like a very open race, at least at this point in the season. Just also want to quickly mention before we talk about the Stony Brook Seawolves opponent tonight that senior Kirsten Jeter played in her 100th game against Long Island this past Sunday. And she is quickly approaching the all-time record for games played in a Stony Brook uniform. Dana Ferraro holds the record of 118 games played, and Kirsten Jeter can actually tie that mark if she plays every game the rest of the regular season, with a chance of breaking the mark in the opening round of the America East tournament. Kirsten Jeter, of course, a phenomenal player. She's 10th all-time in points in a Stony Brook uniform, only 7 away from 1,200 in her career. She's also 9th all-time in rebounds with over 600 and 9th all-time in steals, approaching 200 in her career. And she will have her work cut out for her tonight against a tall Old Dominion Lady Monarch lineup. When you look at the players who are likely to start this game, they have basically a four-guard set, but all of the guards, with the exception of the point guard, are around 5'10", 5'11". So you're going to go up against a tall and physical opponent tonight in Old Dominion. The Lady Monarchs are coming off an eight-day layoff since a 65-43 loss at Richmond. In that game, the Spiders held Old Dominion to just 27% from the field, including only 1 of 12 from behind the arc. And that was their lowest scoring output of the season. So you have to think Old Dominion will want to come into tonight's game and sort of rectify that poor performance, especially from behind the arc. Jasmine Parker is the player to watch for Old Dominion. She runs the point. She is a senior, a local girl out of Norfolk, Virginia. She had 16 points earlier this season against Tennessee. Old Dominion was actually fortunate enough to host the Lady Vols here earlier this season, and they were not able to win that game, but it's just an honor to have a big-time program like Tennessee come into your building, and they had about an 8,000 mark for their attendance in that game. So this is a big draw here in Norfolk, this Old Dominion Lady Monarch team, and it is a gorgeous arena, the Ted Constance Center. Talking a little bit more about this Old Dominion schedule that they've played, I mentioned they played Tennessee. That's only one of several Power Conference teams that the Monarchs have faced. They opened the season against Georgia Tech, and they actually knocked off the Yellow Jackets here in Norfolk by a 65-63 count. They've also faced the likes of Louisville here at home, defeating the Cardinals by a four-point margin, and they've taken to the road and really played tight games against NC State and Florida. So this is a team that really is no stranger to some great competition here in the non-conference schedule, and it has showed. Their record maybe not indicative of how good this team is at just 4-4 because of that tough schedule that they've played. In fact, collegerpi.com has rated their non-conference schedule the 31st most difficult in the nation. So really, kudos to this program for scheduling such tough opponents in the non-conference. Their offensive numbers are down, as I said earlier in the show. They're averaging right around 59 points per game, but I think you can argue at the same time that when you play difficult teams, that your offensive numbers are sort of attached to that schedule. They haven't scored more than 60 points in their last four games, so they'll certainly be looking to improve at the offensive end this evening. This is a historic program. If you're not really familiar with the women's basketball landscape, Old Dominion is one of only three Division I teams to win more than 900 games. They've won 913 in their 42 years as a program, and they've really reaped the rewards. They were WNIT champions in 1978. They made the NCAA Sweet 16 in 1982, 87, 96, 98, 2000. They advanced to the Elite Eight in 1984 and 2002, the NCAA Final in 1997, and they were NCAA National Champions in women's basketball in 1985. And when you pair that with their back-to-back AIAW National Championships in 1979 and 1980, you're talking about a powerhouse team on the women's basketball landscape. And the success is really reflected by the retired jerseys in the rafters. They have six women's basketball retired jerseys, including Nancy Lieberman. And if you think that name sounds familiar, it's because she's the head coach of the Dallas NBA D-League team. Another familiar name is Keisha Panichero. She had an illustrious WNBA career. She won a title with the Sacramento Monarchs in 2005. 9 seasons they've been at the Ted Constance Center, and they have quickly made it a house of horrors for opponents. They've won over 100 games in 9 years here. That comes out to roughly 12 home wins a season, and all time Old Dominion is 487-95 at home. That's the sixth best home record of all time in women's basketball, so a very, very difficult team to defeat on their home court. Taking a look at what Old Dominion accomplished last year, they finished 19-14 and in first place in the Colonial Athletic Association with a 14-4 conference mark. They were unable to win the conference tournament, however, but they did advance to the WNIT, where they defeated American in the opening round and then lost to Providence in the second round. This year, they bring back 9 letter winners and 4 starters, and they were picked to finish second in the CAA behind James Madison. And we will talk a little bit more about this Old Dominion team after we take a quick break. So we'll send it back to the WUSB studios on Long Island. You're listening to WUSB, your flagship station for Seawolves women's basketball.
Basketball coach Michelle Cherry, and you're listening to the longtime home of Stony Brook Sports on 90.1 FM WUSB.
All right, Asha, thank you so much for setting us up as we get ready for tip-off down at the Ted Constance Convocation Center in Norfolk, Virginia. Taking a quick look at some other scores in the America East earlier today in DeLand, Florida. It was Stetson over Maine, 76-70. In the America East men's action, Maine and Penn State are in progress right now at University Park. A couple of high school basketball games to tell you about. Girls basketball, it was Islip over Sayville, 66-51, and Sachem North defeated West Islip, 47-40. A big game tonight in women's basketball. Number one, UConn, is hosting Florida State in Hartford, Connecticut. Huskies are bringing an 88-game winning streak into Hartford tonight and hoping they can break UCLA's 37-year-old record with a win tonight in the state capital of Connecticut. Let's send it back down to Norfolk now. It's Asha Michener.
Thank you very much, Dave, and welcome back to Norfolk, Virginia. Let's talk a little bit more about this Old Dominion Lady Monarch team. Three players have been named to the second team CAA all preseason team, and again, it all starts with their senior point guard, Jasmine Parker. She is the player to watch, and she will be starting at the point tonight. Another second team preseason all CAA mention was Shadeja Green, another senior guard, and she is sort of a swing player, can hit from behind the arc, and she's also very athletic. She leads this team in rebounds from the guard position, averaging over 6 per game. And the third second-team preseason All-CAA member is center Tia Lewis, and she has really been a force down low, standing 6'3". Right now, let's get you your starting lineup, starting with the visiting team, which is the Stony Brook Seawolves this evening. Amanda Corona gets the start, the sophomore out of North Hollywood, California. She will be joined in the backcourt by junior number 12, Tamil Murray, as well as sophomore number 22, Sam Landers. Up front, the Seawolves will start number 32, senior Kirsten Jeter, as well as the junior center number 42, Destiny Jacobs. The Seawolves are coached by Michelle Cherry. In her fourth season, she's assisted by Evelyn Thompson, Emily Hardy, and Christy Nix. For the host, the Lady Monarchs, it'll be Jasmine Parker, the senior guard. At the point, she'll be joined in the backcourt by number 14, Jackie Cook, and number 35, Shadeja Green. Up front will be number 44, junior Tia Lewis, and number 53, freshman forward Shakiva Richards out of Griffin, Georgia. She had a season-high 5 points against Richmond in their last game, and she is on the floor to start this evening's matchup as well. The Lady Monarchs are coached by Wendy Larry in her 23rd season, a graduate of Old Dominion, coaching at her alma mater, graduating in 1977. She is assisted by Nikita Lowry Dawkins, Celeste Hill Brockett, and Belle Coquelanis. Just about a minute away here from the opening tip-off at the Ted Constant Center, the Seawolves will be donning their visiting red jerseys with white trim. Meanwhile, the host Lady Monarchs will be wearing their home gray uniforms with a trim consisting of slate blue, sky blue, and white. Tia Lewis and Destiny Jacobs tipping it up tonight, and the opening tip is controlled by Old Dominion, and we are underway here from Norfolk, Virginia. Thanks again for joining us, and happy holidays here on WUSB. Jasmine Parker has the ball, kicks it out to Tia Lewis at the top of the key, driving right on Jeter, puts up a shot in the lane, off glass, no good, and the defensive rebound controlled by Sam Landers. Landers will push it back the other way for Stony Brook. Setting up the offense, moves around a screen by Jacobs, stops at the foul line, puts up a floater, no good. Defensive rebound by Shadeja Green. Quickly back the other way, the pass to Cook, and they score in transition. Cook with the lay-in as Stony Brook was not able to get back. Great transition offense that time by Old Dominion. And the Lady Monarchs on the board first here tonight. Stony Brook looking to answer. Here is Amanda Corona on the left wing. Passes into the corner to Landers, has it knocked away by Parker, and Jasmine Parker with the steal. As she gets it up the court quickly once again, and another transition basket as Shadeja Green lays it in, and a quick timeout called by head coach Michelle Cherry. That's twice now in the first minute that Stony Brook has been beaten up the court by the transition offense of Old Dominion, and it has resulted in two baskets by Jackie Cook and Shadeja Green, as the Old Dominion Lady Monarchs are quickly out to a 4-0 lead. And we have a pretty good crowd on hand tonight from the Ted Constant Center, this being a holiday break for the students, but the community has certainly shown its love for this team in the past, and it's no exception this evening.
as Stony Brook will inbound the basketball out of the timeout, looking for their first points of the game. Sam Landers running the point right now for the Seawolves, guarded very closely by Parker, able to get it off to Murray. Now into the post, Jeter driving in, has a shot knocked away from behind. The offensive rebound controlled by Landers. She has it stripped from behind by Parker. And again, up the court, here comes Old Dominion. And a good foul in transition as Amanda Corona is able to hack Tia Lewis and prevent the easy layup. But really, Stony Brook needs to do a better job of getting back, as Old Dominion has easily beaten them up the floor here to start this game, as Tia Lewis will head to the free throw line. Taking a look at her numbers, she's an excellent free throw shooter, shooting 82.1% from the charity stripe, and she will have two shots at the line now. First one up and no good. It rattles off. Head coach Michelle Cherry having a word with Tamille Murray and Sam Landers right now. As Lewis sets for the second foul shot, it is up and good. One of two at the free throw line for Tia Lewis, and it is a 5-0 Old Dominion lead. You really don't want to fall behind to Old Dominion. They are so tough to beat in this building, as I mentioned in the pregame show. Back the other way, nice move by Amanda Corona as she kisses it off glass for the layup, driving along the baseline, and Stony Brook on the board. Old Dominion trying to answer back the other way. Nice defensive play by Tamille Murray to knock a pass out of bounds. So with 24 seconds remaining on the shot clock, it'll be Old Dominion ball. They have a 5-2 advantage, 18-18 showing on the first half clock here at the Ted Constant Center. Inbound to Parker. Kicks it off to the right wing to Green. Stops in the lane. Shot is up and no good. And there is Destiny Jacobs pulling down the defensive board. Stony Brook wants to push it back quickly back the other way. Here's Jeter lining up a three. It is no good. Defensive rebound by Green. Quickly back the other way come the Lady Monarchs. Tia Lewis has it stolen by Kirsten Jeter. And Jeter wants to push it back the other way. Frantic pace to start this game so far. Tamille Murray with a long two-pointer is no good. And there's Green for another defensive rebound. Green up the court quickly to Lewis, and she is able to convert and the foul. Another transition basket for Old Dominion, and with the exception of the free throw that Lewis made a minute ago, all of their points in this game have been in transition, and head coach Michelle Cherry will respond by bringing Talisha Bridges into the game for Sam Landers. Bridges, an athletic player, maybe trying to slow down this Old Dominion offense. Lewis will have a chance to make it a three-point play as she heads to the line. Free throw is no good. Jacobs pulls down the defensive rebound. Amanda Corona has the ball for the Seawolves, moving right to left on your computer screen. Destiny Jacobs from just outside the free throw line. Pull-up jump shot, no good. Defensive rebound pulled down by Jackie Cook, and it looks like we have a foul underneath against Old Dominion, it appears, as Talisha Bridges hit the deck that time. And it is. It's against Jasmine Parker, her first foul of the game. Stony Brook will inbound under the Old Dominion basket. 7-2, Lady Monarchs with the lead. 17 and a half minutes to play here in the first half. Murray inbounds to Talisha Bridges. She's guarded by Cook. She'll hand it off to Tamille Murray, who will set up the offense. Murray, the junior out of Teaneck, New Jersey, drives around a screen by Jacobs, stops at the free throw line and connects. Tamille Murray makes it a 7-4 game, as the Seawolves hit their second field goal of the night. Now running the point for Old Dominion will be Quanice Bird, who enters the game. Her pass is intercepted by Amanda Corona, so the Seawolves force a turnover, but Jasmine Parker is able to get her hands quickly on the ball and force a jump. As we have a substitution, Shadeja Green comes back into the game, replacing Jackie Cook. So the scouting report so far on Jasmine Parker is she is very aggressive at the defensive end, as she has nearly forced three turnovers already. Quick three by Landers is no good. Offensive rebound by Jacobs and a foul underneath against the Lady Monarchs. So Destiny Jacobs asserting herself on the glass. She has three rebounds already. The foul is going to be assessed to Tia Lewis. It's her first. Inbound to Landers. Spots up from the baseline and connects. Sam Landers off of an inbound from Tamille Murray. And just like that, the Seawolves have scored four unanswered. It's a 7-6 Old Dominion lead. at the top of the arc. Richards passes it right. Here's Bird. Now underneath, they get it into Clark. Backing in, puts the shot up. Off glass and good. Tia Lewis, awfully hard to stop down low. She has 5 of Old Dominion's 9 points so far. Bridges back the other way. Baseline jump shot, and she hits from the right corner. It's a 2, a long 2, but it counts nonetheless. 9-8, Old Dominion now in front. Bird back the other way. Monarchs working it around the perimeter. Parker tries a skip pass. It's picked off by Kirsten Jeter. Jeter back the other way, 3-on-2. Finds Bridges, another long 2 up and no good. And Shadeja Green again in the right place at the right time. She's got 4 rebounds already in this game. She leads this team in rebounds with 6.5 per game. She's already got 4 as we have a foul against Stony Brook. 15:48 to play here in the first half. Media timeout, so we'll step aside from the Ted Constant Center. You're listening to WUSB, your flagship station for Seawolves women's basketball.
Hi, this is Jim Fiore, Director of Athletics at Stony Brook University, and you're listening to Seawolves Sports on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook.
All right, Asha, thank you so much. Back here at the WUSB studios, taking a look elsewhere in women's college basketball today. Marquette defeated Illinois 73-56. It was Miami of Florida over Mississippi 82-46. Auburn out to Chicago State by 4, 67-63. Arizona topples North Texas 88-73. And it was Florida over Robert Morris 70-50. In progress right now, West Virginia is ahead of North Carolina Central 38-20. That's with a minute 20 remaining in the first half. Send it back now to Norfolk, Virginia. It's Asha Mitchner.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to the Ted Constant Center. The Old Dominion Lady Monarchs leading the Stony Brook Seawolves by a count of 9-8 here, 4-12 into this first half. So far, looking at the statistics, all 8 of Stony Brook's points have been scored by different players. I should say 4 different players with a field goal for Stony Brook. Amanda Corona, Tamille Murray, Sam Landers and Talisha Bridges have all scored for the Seawolves. Meanwhile, Tia Lewis with 5 of Old Dominion's 9 points in the early going. It will be Old Dominion ball coming out of the timeout as Jackie Cook hustles over to inbound the basketball. Stony Brook right now employing a man-to-man defense as Green drives the lane, puts it up off rim, no good. Offensive rebound Green, and she cashes in with the putback. Shadeja Green has really been a beast so far on the glass. Now 5 rebounds as Old Dominion claims a 3-point lead at 11-8. And we have a reach-in foul coming against Old Dominion. It's Quanice Bird, her first personal of the game. Bird came off the bench in this one. She was actually the team's full-time point guard last season, started 33 games, a transfer from Miami-Dade Junior College. Inbound now comes to Sam Landers as the Seawolves will set up their half-court offense. Landers picks up her dribble and passes it off left to Talisha Bridges. Bridges driving to her right, picks up her dribble and travels. Tried to maybe stop and pump fake for a shot at the elbow, but took an extra step that time. And as a result, it's the second turnover of the game for Stony Brook. And it'll be Old Dominion ball with a 3-point lead. 15 minutes to play here. From Norfolk, Virginia. Bird has it. Landers on her. Picks up her dribble. Now into Clark. Puts up a shot in the paint. Off back iron. No good. Offensive rebound controlled by Cook. Cook swings it out to Bird. Now quickly back into the post to get it to Guilford. Guilford outside to Cook. 3-point basket. No good. And another offensive rebound controlled by Tia Lewis. And Old Dominion will reset the offense. This will be their third crack at the basket now as they have been very aggressive at the offensive end on the glass. Bird has it. Tries what looked like an alley-oop pass to Shadeja Green. It was an errant pass, but luckily for Old Dominion, batted out of bounds by Stony Brook, and they will keep possession with 15 seconds to play on the shot clock. Green will inbound. Lobs it into the paint. It's going to be stolen by Tamille Murray. She has Landers with her on 2-on-1. Here's the layup. It is no good. Credit Tia Lewis for altering that shot. And the ball is last touched by Landers, and it'll belong to Old Dominion. Lewis did everything she could not to foul, and she really ended up just altering that layup by Tamil Murray, making it a tougher shot than it needed to be. And Old Dominion gets the defensive stand there and will look to add to their three-point lead. 11-8, Old Dominion in front here early on from the Ted Constant Center. Bird running the point for Old Dominion. Dribbling to her left, comes around a screen provided by Clark, spins in the lane, puts it up, off iron, no good, and Jeter is there for the rebound. Quickly back the other way come the Seawolves. Sam Landers coming around a screen provided by Jeter. Landers wants to put it up with the left hand, and she is able to draw a foul against Quanice Bird. A nice aggressive play that time by Sam Landers, recognizing that she had a one-on-one matchup against Bird, and she is able to draw the contact and earn a trip to the free throw line. Sam Landers will get two shots on the season. Landers, a 77% free throw shooter. And the first shot is up, and it is good. Off iron and glass and falling through. Back onto the floor is Jasmine Parker after getting a brief rest. She will replace Quanice Bird for Old Dominion. Landers' second free throw up and good. 2 of 2 at the charity stripe for Sam Landers, and the deficit cut to 1. Old Dominion 11, Stony Brook 10. 13:45 to play here in the first half. Shadeja Green with the ball over the timeline for Old Dominion. She passes it in the low, blocks to Clark, kicks it out to Parker. Parker feeds it back into Clark, pump fake down low, and kisses it off glass for 2. Nice play there by Tia Lewis as she got Kirsten Jeter in the air and then was able to convert the uncontested layup down low. 7 points for Tia Lewis in the game. Jeter with it now for Stony Brook. A little bit of a mismatch as Joe Guilford is on her, giving up about 3 inches against Kirsten Jeter. Jeter able to hand the ball off to Talisha Bridges. 5 on the shot clock. Bridges from the elbow puts it up. No good. And Joe Guilford skies for the defensive rebound. Guilford gives it off to Green. Green trying to drive against Tamil Murray. Spinning in the lane. And her shot is no good. And they're actually going to call a travel before the shot. That's the 5th turnover here for Old Dominion. This is a turnover-prone team. They average almost 21 turnovers per game. So far, Stony Brook doing a nice job forcing mistakes. So far, the Seawolves really haven't converted much off of those turnovers. They have only 2 points. Destiny Jacobs now with it in the right block. Contested shot, no good. Offensive rebound by Bridges. Her shot blocked by Green from behind. And the defensive rebound controlled by Cook. Cook back the other way. Kicks it out to Green. Green goes behind her back to elude Destiny Jacobs, and now they get it into low blocks to Clark. Has it stripped away by Talisha Bridges, and Landers is off to the races the other way. Landers, pull-up jump shot off glass, no good,